Okay, we are on record, and we have Jocelyn Obermeyer on the line. She'll be facilitating this call, and the topic is resonant tone. And I'm just going to turn the call over to Jocelyn at this point. And I will be putting everybody on mute except presenters initially, and when Jocelyn opens it up for questions and answers, I will open up the line. Okay, Jocelyn?
Thank you. Well, thank you, Dee, for asking me to participate tonight. I want to let you know that your program was well represented at the meeting this past Sunday, the American Harp Society Phoenix chapter meeting. We did presentations on therapeutic music. And Colleen was there, and Nancy was there, and everybody in attendance received your brochure, so thank you very much for that. And I can't remember who won your CD, but thank you so much for that. And I appreciate you supporting us and what we're doing out here. I'll just tell you a little bit about myself to begin with. My name is Jocelyn Obermeyer, and I think I heard some names that I recognize. I live here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am certified through the International Harp Therapy Program as a therapeutic harpist. And I've been working in this field for about 5 years now. I play for anywhere between 45 to 60 facilities per month. And I try to keep it at the 45 side of that. And those consist of memory care, assisted living, end of life, hospitals, and all different places in the hospital, intergenerational work, which is which I'm sure you know, I work with children, 1 and 2 year olds, and the memory care population at the same time. We do music together. So that's very fun. Prior to being a harpist, my major was clarinet. I was a clarinet major, and I played clarinet, flute, saxophone, organ, piano, oboe, and not oboe, bassoon, and now harp. And I toured. I was big into jazz, and I toured with some big bands. I played with Louis Belton, several of them, throughout actually the world, over in Europe and here, you know, throughout the United States. I never had thought much about harp in my younger years, but what brought me to the harp was I had a friend who was a patient at the hospice that I currently work for. And when she was a patient there, she happened to be one of my parent volunteers. I was a principal of a Christian school prior to what I do at the harp. And somebody came and prayed for her, a harpist did, and she just raved about it, how healing the music was, and, you know, the inner healing, and it was relaxing, and, you know, all the different things that our patients and families and staff tell us about the music. And I was just really drawn to it, and I started listening to harp music and got a harp, and then that harp is too big, so I got a smaller harp, which is what I use now, a Dusty Strings, and very, very happy and pleased with the work that I do. I'm very passionate about it. And we're going to discuss and reflect on resonant tone tonight. I know you have that in your curriculum. I don't know to what extent. So forgive me if I repeat anything you already know, but I am not an expert on this, but I will tell you from my experience about resonant tone. And there is a certification in it. I am not certified to teach it, but again, I'm going to share with you through my experiences. So the first thing I'd like to share with you is imagine walking into a hospital, into NICU with the babies, and I see a baby getting passed from grandparent to parent to siblings to parent to grandparent, back and forth, you know, trying to get the baby to stop crying and, you know, bouncing it and, you know, all the things we do, we've done with children to comfort them. And I came in with the harp and sat in the background a little bit and just listened for a moment. And just came to me what to play. And it wasn't Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, although that certainly is very nice, or Brahms Lullaby. What I knew to play was just simply the F string. And that's what I did. I just played the F string and sat and observed. And I played the F string again in a different octave and sat and observed. And I did that again. And in less than a minute, I wish I would remember the exact amount of time, but that baby stopped crying. It just stopped crying completely. And I attribute that to the fact that I could hear the baby's cry. The baby's tone was an F. So what I did was just match the baby's tone, which was the F, and I played the F back to the baby, and the baby enjoyed it because it felt good, or it touched them in a certain way, or resonated inside them, and the baby stopped crying and remained as such, remained quiet. And people just kind of looked at me very oddly, like what I was doing, just playing one note. But it was very powerful, and it was new into my certification, so it was powerful for me to experience, as well as for the family and the baby and the staff. And another story I'd like to share with you is I was playing for a lady who was at end of life, and she'd been at end of life in that transition stage for days. And her family was becoming very stressed about this. And they said to me, you know, can your music make her pass? And I said, no, the music can't make her pass, but I will do my best to communicate with her through the music. And which is what I did. I'm trying to remember her tone was, I can't remember what her tone was off the top of my head. I have it written down somewhere. But as it was, playing to her tone, but it also was helping the family relax, which helped the patient relax. And I just played a couple tones for about, I think, 30 minutes. And then I could tell when she was ready to transition. And I spoke to the family and said, now might be a good time, you know, to say your final goodbyes, and we'll see you, you know, see you around next time. And and that's what happened. And it was very powerful because, again, it wasn't a, you know, many notes or a song or anything like that, which is all fine and can be appropriate, but it was just what we're referring to is matching tone, resonant tone, R-O-S-O-N-A-N-T. And that's a little bit, just a few stories of how resonant tone is used. Now, what resonant tone is, and I'm going to be quoting things out of the Cradle of Sound Harp Therapy Manual, because that's what I am able to do with this presentation. In the resonant tone model, the healer reflects back the same state so that the body might use the increased energy to achieve energy balance. Healing through resonance is not a set of articulated rules that we follow, but a group of principles and practices of observation. Very, very important, the observation, as you know, which the practitioner masters through experience. So that is what resonant tone is. When I explain it to a family, and I don't explain it technically, I just say, I'm going to have a music conversation with your loved one, if it's an end-of-life patient I'm working with. And I'm just going to give back to them what they're giving to me, and we're just going to talk about it that way. And that's what I simply say to patients. And then I look for their resonant tone, and the way that I do that is I can hear it through their breathing, so I always get real close and say hello to them. And again, I'm talking end of life right now. and I say, well, who I am is what we're going to do, and I hear their tone is different. And then I go and match it the best that I can, and I do that through thinking, you know, if I hear an F or a C, whatever the tone will be, I will match that on the harp, and then if it's not exactly that one, it's usually a fifth up or a fifth below from the person's sounds that are coming out from them, their voice or their just the different vocalizations they might be making, and simply from their breathing having that sound to it toward the end. And that is, see what that tone would be through the observation, which I know that you all do. Seeing the patient sink into the pillow or sink into their bed, or their foot may move, their finger may move, their eyebrows may go up, the wrinkled brow can go away. Sometimes I can see eye movement under the lid. They're just, and it's all very, very subtle. So it's about observation, observing, hearing the sounds coming from them, and giving back to them what their sound is. And sometimes I can't see the patient because there may be a lot of family bedside. And I've still been asked to play, but I can't even see the patient, and I have to go on skill and intuition, which I do a lot of my work from intuition. And that's something that, as practitioners, it's good for us to know what is the best way that we can pick up on these things. If we have to see it or hear it or feel it. Sometimes it's just a combination of all those different things, because of the atmosphere that we're in when we're working with end-of-life patients in particular. So another experience with resonant tone in a therapeutic setting is the different beeps and whistles and sounds and all those different things that we may experience as we're playing. Particularly in a hospital setting, you know, the heart machines are going off and the beepers are going off and the call lights are going off and, you know, the children are running down the hallway, you know, with their whatever, something that's making noise. And I use the resonant tone of what's going on in the atmosphere and in the setting as well. So I know that, for example, at St. Joe's Hospital, I know their heart machines give off a B flat. So if I'm there and they're beeping incessantly, repeatedly, I will play, for example, a B flat, or in the key of G minor, emphasizing the B flat, and work to make those, and it does. They'll stop here, because the music will blend in with them. And people, particularly staff, get much closer. They're not hearing all the beeps and whistles. They know what they hear for what they have to attend to, but it just makes it a much more calm atmosphere. And I've heard stories of that with fire drills going off, playing to the pitch of these fire drills and making those disappear. So there's very, very interesting how the resonant tone can affect what's going on. With memory care patients, I usually start when I'm playing in a relaxing tone or a relaxing mode, for example, like Dorian. That's how I'll start before I even get into, you know, I do sing-alongs with that population. And just from playing in that mode, I can observe what's going on or hear sounds around or hear their voices of songs that they may be requesting or singing along to. And sometimes I'll try to match what I can and hear through everybody's sounds and try to play in the keys that might best suit them at the time. And in hospitals, if I'm playing in a lobby, for example, I can sense what's going on in the entire lobby and how the people are walking and what kind of pace they have and, you know, their stance and all different things like that. And I will try to find the tones and the modes and the music that fits that setting as well. So primarily, my experience with dissonant tone is really with the people that are transitioning. That's where I apply it the most. And it's being present and quiet from that. I've seen people pass it, not close, but I don't know, maybe they relaxed to the music and that's what happened. So far, I'd just like to see if anybody has any comments or any of your experiences you'd like to share with any of this type of practice that you'd like to share with me or with each other.
Okay, I've taken folks off mute. If you are not speaking, please keep your phone muted either by using your mute button on the phone, preferably, or *6 will also keep you muted. And Jocelyn, I don't know if you're moving around your phone a little bit, but there are times in the last little while that you cut out a little bit. So if you are doing that, maybe you can watch that a little bit.
So thank you.
So let's see if there's any comments or questions at this point. Well, I'll start with a question. How, you know, if someone has not worked with resonant tone at all, what suggestions do you have for how they play with it, or how they get to get a feel of it, other than suddenly being at the bedside of a transitioning patient? Are there suggestions you have? And I guess my other question is how you went through the learning curve.
That's Dee. This is you, right?
Yes.
Is that you, Dee? Yeah, those are great questions. Those are great questions. First, I'll talk about how I went through the learning curve. When I first learned about this through the IHTP program, of course, I thought I would never get it, first of all. And I think it took me maybe 2 years, maybe not quite that long, maybe 2 years to actually feel comfortable and to, I would say, trust myself in the process. Because I ask myself when I go into a room, what's going to meet me today, or what is this patient's needs? And I try to listen to that as best I can and not second guess what comes to me, or not second guess my observations and just, you know, roll with it. But it was I think scary might be a good word at first, because it just seems so odd. But then after you study it, it seems so natural, you know, using sound and pitch. Back to an individual. And so, you know, and it's like not a perfect science. I can get it right every time, but I can narrow it down every time, going through the, you know, the circle of fifths, until I can observe that, okay, that's the pitch that the patient is meaningful to them. That's the pitch that's resonating within their body at the time. And, of course, that changes. You know, that can change, you know, 5 minutes from when you start, or 30 minutes, or it changes as the body goes through the different transitions. And one way to work with this outside of, you know, the training at IHTP would be to just get together with people, with your instruments, and get together with other people that are studying this or would like to experiment with it, and find the resonant tone of each other. And we did that with a group of people once. And again, you can try to hear it from the speaking voice, and you try to match it. So somebody's laying down on the ground, somebody's, you know, with their instrument, and you try to match pitch. And the person will know who's on the ground when that is feeling right to them. And it's a good way for the practitioner to practice, because it heightens the awareness of the experience and what's going on with the pitch. So that's one really good way to do that. And if you're in a setting, for example, that where you have the beeps and things like that, you're in a hospital setting, or even in an assisted living facility where the lights, the what's the word I'm looking for? The lights that make all the noise.
Fluorescent.
Yes, thank you. The fluorescent lights that to me just disturb my sound. But you can work with hearing those things too. Now you can't observe through that, but it's a learning process. It's a learning curve, and it's not just something we learn today and tomorrow, you know, we're off and rolling. But it's certainly great to explore. So that's what I might recommend, is just getting together with other people. Does that make sense? Does that sound like it could work?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What other comments or questions are there?
Dee, can I ask you a question or ask the participants? I know you said that it's in your curriculum to some degree, but I'm not sure, like, to what degree.
The concept is acknowledged, but there isn't any detail. We don't work with it. There's no expectation that students demonstrate proficiency in it.
Okay. So let's, again, finding the resonant tone is hearing it through somebody's voice, through their breathing, if working with the patient, and starting with that pitch. And if that pitch, through your observation and through your intuitiveness, doesn't look like it's matching with them, then you try a fifth down tone. And if that doesn't look like it's matching real good, you would try a fifth up. And most of the time, that's going to happen in those settings. That is how one finds the resonant tone. But then, you know, and again, the training for this goes very, very deep, and of which I'm not qualified to teach, but I certainly understand it and see the wonderful effects of it. Let's see, what else did I want to? And when we study this and we find a pitch or the resonant tone, and then we determine, you know, what modes to play in based on that as well. So I know, so you know about the modes, and so there's different modes go with the different steps of the degrees or the pitches. And that's what the beauty of the resonant tone is. That's what makes it so special. And
can you give an example of what you're speaking about?
Absolutely. For example, let's say somebody's resonant tone is C, okay? So you play in C major, or you could play in A minor, and emphasizing the C if you're playing in A minor, because the C is their resonant tone. Okay, if their resonant tone is D, for example, you could play in Dorian, which is, you know, the grounding, D major, which is outreaching, D minor, for reflective. So that's kind of how the modes fit in. And that's a very basic, simple explanation, right off of the graph, as a matter of fact. And that's studied in that Grade of Hartman series. People can study that. And sometimes there's the double resonance in a room, because you would have the oxygen machine plus the individual. And so I strive to match those and play so that it all comes together and is calming for the patient. So there's not this sound and that sound and that sound, but it all comes together for their relaxation.
Can I give an example?
Yes. The oxygen machines at this one particular unit are in C. Okay, their pitch is C. And let's say the patient's pitch is maybe G. This is a pretty easy one. So I'm going to play initially in C, emphasizing G because that's what's with the patient. But the C and the G together are going to cancel out the sounds in the room and bring it all into one. So it's kind of, it's, you know, harmonious that way then. I know it can sound strange, but it really does work. It really does work. And it does provide that relaxation. I was coaching a student the other day that was that is one of my mentees, and in a particular key, and I suggested to her to do something with it. And the patient just changed and he just absolutely relaxed so quickly. I mean, it was one of those very visible changes, and just that patient went into a deeper sleep. Their breathing slowed down. Their breathing wasn't so labored, so it got more shallow, which was okay in that situation. So that's just how my work with resonant tone has been. And if I may say that training is available with IHTP of just that section, of just this topic. So I don't know if that's something people might be interested in. But want to spend.
Is that available through IHTP? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, but not the whole. The people in your program, your participants, don't have to go through the program. They can take that part.
Right.
You know, so
would they go on the IHTP website or contact Tina or what?
Yes, I think contacting Tina would be good. Or if you want to take the names of those that are interested and pass those to Tina, or I could take the names of those that are interested and pass them to Tina, however makes it easy, you know, whatever is easiest. But I know that section can be available to graduates of other programs if they're interested in pursuing that.
Okay, that's great to know.
Okay, yeah. So that's my experience, and it's been very powerful. I see it powerful with babies and with people in transition. I mean, it's powerful with all those different things that I've mentioned, but that's where I spend a lot of my time is with very, very sick babies and people in transition. So that's what I have for tonight. Kind of wet your whistle about this.
Well, I it's awesome information. I you know, it gives me certainly a lot of ideas to play around with. I'm going to open it up again for comments or questions.
Okay, Jocelyn?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Linda Friedel. I have a question for you. I may have missed some of this because you were cutting out a little bit more in some of the areas. So when you find a resonant tone, when you've discovered that, are you solely improvising within that resonant tone, within that, perhaps in that key, maybe if it's like in D minor or if it's in G, are you just kind of improvising within that key, or are you actually playing a tune. I mean, I know obviously this depends on whether you're in NICU or playing for someone who's in transition, which you probably wouldn't play a recognizable tune. But I'm just curious as to what you do with it after you've discovered it.
That is a great question, and I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, mainly improvisation.
Okay.
Almost always improvisation.
That's kind of what I was picturing.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And what's nice about that, I'm sure, as you have already experienced in your your walk in this work, is that it's very freeing because we can meet those patients' needs, whatever they are, musically, because we're not tied down to a song. That doesn't mean I won't do a song, you know, but mostly it's improvisation. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Did that answer it fully?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Other questions, comments? This is a very quiet group tonight.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Anything that you want to add, Jocelyn?
Well, I don't think so. I really like working with this practice. And one of the reasons is it just requires such intense observation. And I think that is a beautiful work that we can do with our patients and the family members and the staff, is being so tuned in to what is going on. Out of ourselves, it's all about them and what is going to make them the most comfortable. And that's what's very rewarding for me, is to just to have that opportunity to use music in that way. So that's just what I would like to say is that.
Well, that's great. I just really appreciate you sharing your experience, and it for me it takes a lot of the mystery out of resonant tone. Obviously, there's practice that needs to be done, and I can see that it would be over time, but it's not just some distant concept. It's, you know, you put some reality to it for me.
Oh, good. And, I would like to also say, Dee, that if anybody's ever in this area or vacationing here, hospice is very, very good about letting people come around and see what I do. And they can play, too, as long as I'm with them. So that offer's open to anybody if you're ever in town and want to get together and just play for some patients, you know, let me know.
What town is that, Jocelyn?
Oh, that's Phoenix.
In Phoenix, oh, okay.
In Phoenix, yes.
Great.
Hospice in the Valley is one of my primary places that I play through, and they're very supportive of this work and very supportive of others, learning about the work and people coming together and learning with each other. So they're very, very good about that. The only thing one has to do is sign a HIPAA release, of course, that we don't talk about, you know, anything identifiable once we leave the facility. And, I mean, that we all do that already, so, you know, in our practice. So that works. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, that's a great offer.
Yeah, Dee, come down. I miss you.
Might be happening in December. We'll see.
Woohoo! Yay! Well, Dee, you do such a great job with your program. I just want the people, the participants, to know how much that all of us in this field treasure what you do and your work with the National Standards Board. And so I just want to thank you for that publicly, because you're really out there doing a lot of things, and I thank you for your passion with this.
Well, I appreciate your comments. And I didn't pay her. Okay, well,
yeah.
I think if there are no other questions or comments, then it's been a great call.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Could I give out my email, Dee, in case anybody would like to email about anything?
You certainly can.
Okay. If you're interested or think of questions later, you can certainly ask Dee and she can forward them to me. Or my email is my name, Jocelyn, Jocelyn, OBE, at hotmail.com.
Good. Thank you. And Jocelyn, this is Linda Friedel again. I just wanted to thank you and kind of ditto on what Dee said, that this has taken a little bit more of the mystery out of the puzzle for me, out of the resonant tone, and I am excited to work this into the work that I do at the hospital and at hospice. I'm fairly young in a fairly new graduate of just a little over a year or so. And I'm just really excited to get this worked into what I do. So thank you so much for what you shared.
Oh, you're very welcome, Linda. And I'd love to hear, you know, how that's progressing and how it's working for you and what you observe and see.
You got it.
Okay. Where are you, Linda?
I'm in Seabeck, Washington. In the Bremerton area.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Dee, for having me, and thank you, everybody, for letting me share a little bit.
Thank you again, Jocelyn, and my apologies for being having a time warp.
Dee, don't worry about a thing.
All right. Well,
okay.
I will be in touch. Thanks so
Thank
much,
you.
Everybody. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, and good night.